ladies and germs, ladies and gentlemen, guys, I know I say this every time. Hey guys, hello guys. Hey guys, no, I don't say hey guys, that's not me. What's up? It's your boy Samaj, and you're listening to the Me I Am podcast, season 2, hashtag listening and learning. So without further ado, please welcome the J's, Jay and Jay from Housewives on Display, but now the Day Class A podcast. Hop along, cheese at each. Guys, this is such a fun show. I am so excited. I've got the J's, Jay and Jay from Housewives on Display, FKA, but now CKA, currently known as the Day Class A podcast. Oh my God, this is amazing. If you guys don't listen to them, stop this recording right now. Go follow them over on the Instagrams at Houses on Display and on Twitter as well. And go listen to their show because it is hilarious. They give you astrology, they give you facts, they give you clapbacks and callbacks, and they really give you just the full picture of all these shows we love to watch over on the networks of Bravo TV. So I'm going to stop talking and let them talk. Hello, Jay.
Hi. Oh my God, what an intro.
Thank you so much for that.
Now we have to follow it up and perform all of those acts.
Okay. Right.
No worries.
And they will do it flawlessly. Right. Flawlessly able to do it. Oh my gosh. So y'all, I brought you guys here because real fans know, because they listened to me on your show over the summer. Thank you so much for having me. That was one of the best shows ever. Truly, truly, truly. Like one of my highlights of my career over here. But during our conversation, I mentioned, or rather it came up, that we both share a common love for Raphael Bob Waxberg creation that is the BoJack Horseman show, currently residing on Netflix, resided on Comedy Central for a brief 2 months around 2018. Don't know why. I would have loved to watch it over there. But no, we are here to talk about the BoJack Horseman show. This is honestly one of my favorite TV shows that come out in the last 5 years. Specifically, one of my favorite animated comedies. Specifically, one of my favorite adult animated comedies. I really think this is one of the best shows ever. I literally, you know, took to the mic, took to the platform when I was on, Hot Takes and Deep Dives also in the summer. You know, during Samaj's summer tour, his hot girl summer, his birthday tour back in May, I got to go to Jess's house and record with Jess. We were doing give like your hot picks. She gave me some shows to watch. I gave her some shows to watch, but I spent most of my time telling this girl to go watch BoJack, because it really is, I think, one of the best shows ever. It's one of my favorite shows. So let's just get into this right away. Tell me about BoJack, your love for it. What does it mean to you? Like, let's just do it, because you can hear me. I'm excited. Let's go.
And I get worked up like you, so I already know I'm going to start getting worked up. Like, I'm going to get hyped up.
Activate.
But basically, it's the reverse of Bravo, because I introduced Bravo to Jay and Jay introduced BoJack to me, and we watched it for the first time. Jay, I don't know if you remember this memory, but of course I do, because BoJack is impactful in my life.
Yes.
We watched the first episode, the three of us in your dorm, you, me, and Kenny. We were watching it and we just watched the first episode, and we were just kind of like, I think we were not sober. I don't know what the situation was, but like, we were just sitting there like, okay, let's just watch the show. We watched it and then like didn't talk about it. Like just watched it and it was in isolation. And it really fucked me up, the show. So I followed up. I'm like, whoa, like what's the situation on this show? Like, I need more. And so I think I had watched like maybe like the first season, because you know, that's how Netflix does. So probably the first season.
Yep.
And I circled back and I'm like, Jay, like, what's up? And you, I think at that point you had watched maybe like a couple episodes. She hadn't finished the season. And then we had gotten on the same page. And then, I mean, have been on the page ever since. Like, I mean, Jay, what do you want to say? Because I'm also going to have to go off about what it means to me. But you can
So much to cover.
Like, oh my gosh.
No, it's just like funny that you bring it up, that like I watched and then kind of stopped. And that's just like my MO for a lot of shows. Like I'll watch the first episode or like a first couple of them, and then like I'll stop for whatever reason. And generally it's not because it was terrible or anything. I just sort of stopped. But like BoJack to me, it's funny because it reminds me of like when my dad would try to bring me to the movies with him. He's like a big movie head. Mm. And you know, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'm just like not into it. And I wouldn't go. And then I would always regret it, because the movies that he chose were always so good. they always seemed like on the surface, like, okay, this is kind of stupid. But then I'm like, no, but like this movie was actually fucking phenomenal. And one of the last ones, ironically, was I think Django Unchained.
Oh, wow.
Which, I mean, it's about a cowboy. We're talking about BoJack Horseman. I don't know. Full circle moment. But
life is a circle. Life is a circle.
Yeah, so I like BoJack because it just, for me, represents like, I don't know, just that funny phenomenon of like leaving a show and then coming back and thinking like, why did I leave the show in the first place? Like, this was like great. Like, I should have just followed through the whole time.
Honestly, it's such a great show. It's so good of a show. Guys, I forgot to plug my microphone in. So while I plug my microphone in, tell me specifically, do you remember at what point you started? Because when I started the show was already, you know, in full swing production. When I started, season 3 was about to come out. So where in the timeline did you guys start?
I think when we started, it was definitely like season 1. Season 1, I don't think it was that far in. I'm pretty sure you found out about it pretty early on. So I think we watched it kind of pretty early on, no?
I think so. Because I'm always interested in any of the animated kind of like adult seeming shows.
Episode for Runway, you know,
yeah,
things like that. What's that everyone on there? PD Police, what is it called?
Which PD Academy or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Police, something like that.
Have you seen that new one that's on there now?
Which one?
I forgot. I literally just saw, like, it just came on my radar this week. Let me put on my glasses so I can look for it.
Yeah, well, I'm currently watching The Prince, and I'm really enjoying that. Even though it's not necessarily adult, it's like hitting all those boxes I needed to hit.
Okay.
The Prince. Okay, yes, I've heard about that. That's on HBO.
It's so quick. Yeah, and episodes are like 10 minutes. It's
10 minutes.
It's so easy. It's perfect for our attention spans. Like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that really speaks to me. It gives me like YouTube video. Like, I kind of love that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good and really short. But what's not really good and really short is going to be our breaking down, or as the kids love to say in this space, our deep dive of this series. So, brings me to my next question. So as we know, BoJack is a cartoon. It is as I like to say, animated series. But not only that, is it a cartoon, you know, because there are millions of those. And I love animation. I really do. But I like shows that, you know, really take it more beyond of, this is a character, this is an animated character, we're going to laugh, we're going to, you know, do like the basic tropey animal things. Like the writers, so, you know, like Raphael, Michael Bob Waxberg, you know, Lisa Hannawalt, that whole team, they really sat down and really like, you know, wrote characters with had full lives, stories, ambitions, goals, dreams. They were depressed, they have anxiety, they're happy, they experience just a full range of emotions. And I honestly don't know what other show, animated or non-animated at this point, really, that can really hit the full range of motion. So in that vein of hitting the full range of motion, BoJack himself as a character, I feel like he's so relatable because he's written from, like, you know, the perspective of a human, even though he is a horse. Mm-hmm. And I always found that particularly interesting because I'm like, why am I relating to a horse? But this is not just a horse. This is a 90s sitcom star who was on the hit TV show Horsing Around, which also gave me like some Full House tease. But
I didn't even think about it like that. I was trying to think about what I would liken it to. Full House, that's very good.
Yeah. So I'm watching this and it all felt very meta and surreal because me, you know, like one of our lovely Jays here, being from New York, being a New Yorker, I feel like there's a small piece in all of us from that lovely state, the greatest city in the world. We all have this urge in us, this inkling for something more, for something great, just to be in something. Like, we're all naturally born wanting to be in the mix, especially from the boroughs.
Right.
That's a lot. But no, I always, you know, found it fascinating how, even though it was years and years later, BoJack, you know, he has the money, he had success, had everything, but still always just wanted something more. And whether he knew what that more was or what it wasn't, the fact that he was just like, you know, endlessly chasing it, but while also doing nothing, just drove me crazy. So are there any characters besides BoJack or BoJack that you felt were fleshed out really well and that you really related to?
JD, you want to go first? You want me to ramble?
I mean, you can go.
I was a huge Sarah Lynn head. Like, ooh, I dark. Love,
dark.
Love,
just love gonna say. Dark.
That character.
Tell us why.
Because, well, the only thing I didn't like about her, coincidentally, of course, she is from Bob's Burgers, and she is Louise on there. So, like, that voice, that it's so funny. In animated stuff, in real life stuff, I can handle people being two different characters, but I think because it is all voice and no visual, it's hard for me sometimes with animated stuff to adjust to someone's voice being the same in two different roles. So that I kind of struggle with. That's the worst thing about her. But honestly, she reminds me of like a Lindsay Lohan, a Britney, and like a very real story of like what happens to these young girls. It reminds me of a Disney girl too. Like she like obviously shot to stardom super young and was in a dark world instantly. Like I think of when she was drinking with BoJack for the first time, when she was, you know, the little girl, like, what was her name? I forgot her fucking character on Horsing Around. Sabrina. Yes. She's little Sabrina. She drinks some vodka and, like, her life takes off from there. And that, to me, and, like, the way she died, and, like, I love the payoff of a character dying. I know that's sick and dark, but, like, one of my criticisms of the show is that BoJack didn't die in the end. But, like, the payoff of her dying is really satisfying to me in the way they did it, in the way they shot it, in the planetarium after she'd been begging all episodes to go. And then he's sitting there, like, trying to talk to her, and it cuts to black, and he says, Sarah Lynn, and it's just silent. Like, that is ripping television to me. Like, that is insanity to me. And just, like, her being sober, and then, like, it turns out her whole house is made of drugs, so she could relapse at any moment. Like, truly, I think that character is so well fleshed out, and especially because we saw her story come to an end, I feel like they really captured her well. Like, her beginning, how she got to where she was, and how she died. Like, incredibly.
And the fragility of sobriety and the life of an addict, just how, like, all it takes, you know, as we saw, literally one phone call, one little question from someone else who is, you know, on a similar or the same path, and it can all be unraveled. People's years of work, years of whatever, because, you know, it shows at the end of the day, like, you know, an addict is an addict is an addict. You know, they can try, they can work, and some, and many, not even some, many are very successful, and they do, you know, equip themselves with tools and equipment to, you know, keep it together. But then again, as we saw, you know, that episode starts with her waking up in the morning, and, you know, she's like,
thinking about so many things.
So she's, you know, she wakes up, good morning, son, good morning, birds, good morning, Mr. Blaine. You know, she's happy. And you know, she makes the smoothie, and she's like, oh, I have a great day. She marks up the calendar, sober, so good, and seems to be very well adjusted. And then within a few seconds, gone. So that always startles me. But I love how you said she really is the Hollywood it girl, and also good girl going bad.
Yeah.
And when you said that, first thing that came to mind was, you know, her song, Don't Touch My Prickly Muffin.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And not to spoil one of my favorite episodes, but it's the penultimate series episode. And she performs a beautiful song in there too. And I don't know. I'm captivated by her and her whole thing.
She's the it girl. And also, like you said, you know, Disney Prince. So she, you know, she was a TV star. Then she had a music career. And then she had her fragrance stank by Calvin Klein and not Calvin Klein. And I love how in BoJack, anytime there's a celebrity that that they can't mention, they'll literally change like one letter or one word. Fun fact about the celebrities that we see or we don't see in the show. So I read something, and it said that if a celebrity or character is, like, you know, coming off being, you know, portrayed badly, or, like, you know, dies in the episode or something tragic happens to them, they say that's because they asked a celebrity in real life to join the show or, like, you know, do an episode. And they declined.
Wait, so, and I was going to say, one of my favorite things about the show is that the celebrities, like, seldom do we hear celebrities make fun of themselves and just, like, have a good time and laugh or whatever. And I feel like in these roles, I think of Margot Martindale, I think of Zach Braff, like, just
Karen random. Just Margot Martindale, ain't afraid of nothing.
Amazing character, but, like, you have to poke fun at yourself to play that character, and they do. And I love that they're allowed to have fun like that on this show.
Except for her, because she's like an actual cast member. But, like, you know, when Beyonce was on, when Daniel Radcliffe was on, when Zach Braff, when they were all on, they were asked to, like, you know, just do an episode, and they all kind of declined. I think Daniel Radcliffe might have been into it, but again, they said, like, if anyone was like,
difficult or like hard to work with. They kind of gave them a bad edit.
I love that. That's so that's so BoJack. That's the BoJack way.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, you know, the Hollywood of it all. I mean, let's talk about the town, the setting. So BoJack lives in Hollywood, California, Hollywood. And one thing I love about the show is the social commentary. I mean, we got, you know, a cancellation episode where, you know, Vince D'Onofrio is at D'Onofrio. And, you know, we've got Vance Wagner, you know, Vance was canceled, not Vincent. But again, Vincent was one of those, you know, portrayed poorly characters. So I guess in the way he was canceled. And we had, you know, like the rise and fall of like a Nick Girl, a pop star with Sarah Lynn, and also the through line of adding in Hollywood's number one pop star, Sexina Aquafina, yeah. Who I love and adore. Rap, Pew Pew, that's one of my favorite episodes. I mean, we talk about, you know, depression, anxiety, we talk about fertility and abortion. I mean,
yeah, Princess abortion Caroline. Is major. Yeah. I mean, what cartoon is talking? I mean, animated series, as we want to call it.
Anything,
I mean, who like, does that? I mean, yeah, right. What regular series does something like that?
They just don't. Like, BoJack really, really goes there. I mean, we even get a Me Too episode with, you know, Wally the Whale. What's the guy's name? Uncle Wally, whatever his name
is. It's the Uncle Hanky or like...
Yes, Uncle Hanky, yes.
The mm-hmm. hippo.
Mm-hmm. And Diane, you know, working to expose him. I mean, they really hit everything along the way on this show. I mean, the relationship right. between Todd and BoJack, so much. Like, are there any standout moments to you throughout this series? Any standout moments before we get into our character breakdowns?
Jay, are you going?
You can go.
Let's see. My, like, a standout moment to me. Just a moment, like, I took away from the show. It's just, like, kind of a quote. But, like, I loved Wanda, also his, like, owl girlfriend.
Yes. Back from the past. Welcome from a coma.
Yes. Who was, like, basically a teenager because she went into a coma for how many years? Like, 20-something years. Mm-hmm. And she comes back. She's a TV exec, which is the exact opposite thing of you need to be if you don't know what's current.
Which is how it feels sometimes with our current existence on some networks.
Yeah, like Hollywood stars and celebrities, what do they know? Do they know things? Let's find out. I mean, an amazing show.
Yes, truly.
She said a quote when she was about to break up with BoJack, and she had said, and it really, really, like, I felt like it is like a log line of most heterosexual relationships, I feel like. And she said, when you have on rose-colored glasses, all the red flags just look like flags.
Mm.
Amazing.
Like, I think of that so much. It is crazy to me.
Yes, and I just love the show's just general play and perception on good and bad. I mean, season one, the Neil McBill of it all, BoJack is going to the grocery store, and he sees, you know, a bunch of stale buns. He wasn't even going to get them, but when he sees Neil and Bill going for them, he's like, I got to have it. I have to get it first. He takes them and then proceeds to, you know, get into a fight with Neil McBill over the muffins. Sorry, not the roll. Over the muffins. And BoJack's like, no. He's like, you only want these because you saw me getting them when he's kind of doing the same thing. So it's like crazy to me how, again, it really plays on the notion of good and bad. It's like, how are you going to take muffins from, you know, an ex-Navy SEAL Marine, someone who served years in this country. But, you know, again, that just shows, you know, BoJack's, what's the word I'm looking for? It shows his complexity. Because one, he didn't even want the muffins. He seemed a few moments before we saw him, like, you know, looking at himself in the mirror, he's like, oh, I need to lose weight. So, like, he knows he shouldn't even have the muffins, but just because someone's trying to take it from him, he suddenly has to hold on to them with literally for his life, and then it gets picked up in the news. So, again, you know, they live in Hollywood. Like, I love, like, the little moments like that that you can reflect back to your life. It's like, did I ever take something because someone else simply wanted it and I know I didn't want or need it? But, and, like, it goes there. Like that show really, like, takes you to a bad emotion, takes you to the beginning of it, the end of it, because then we see, you know, next day on the news, you know, BoJack steals from, you know, beloved Navy SEAL. And then BoJack's like, oh, he's like, you know, whatever. He's like, you know, that guy is like, you know, stupid. And just going through kind of how we're all going through now, how people literally like can't or won't apologize for anything. And he's supposed to apologize. Mm-hmm. And he just keeps digging himself in a deeper hole all over some muffins.
And him doubling down, that's so real life too.
Yes.
First of all, I can't believe we've even gotten this far and haven't brought up Mr. Peanut Butter as a character. I'm just saying.
I'm saving him. He's my favorite.
Oh, okay.
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 But no, Jade, yes, go on.
No, but I was just going to say in terms of like pivotal moments, it's not my top favorite episode, mm-hmm. but the one where basically Mr. Peanut Butter, I think it's called like Mr. Peanut Butter's Booze.
And oh, yes.
And they all like that Halloween party kind of flashback and we see all his relationships.
Wow.
And basically how at the end of the episode, he really has like a come to Jesus moment with Diane.
Yes. Diane.
Just, yeah. Very interesting character. Very Daria-like. Miss Diane over there.
But, Diane, what's her deal? Like the Asian Daria, Sarah Lynn says?
Yeah.
The way this show is so self-aware is just the best.
It is. And I was going to say, when you said earlier, it's meta. It's so meta. Like sometimes, like, I feel like this is a show truly for geniuses. And maybe I'm a nut. But to like truly get what they're saying,
yes.
you have to have a certain level of intellect. You know what I mean? Like he literally, I think it was like a scene where those two reporters, Beatrice and Max, were talking to yes. Mr. Peanut Butter at Elefante. And she was like saying that she wanted to give it like more of a, like an overarching like storyline where she wanted to find out the big picture. And Max was like, no, we need the nitty gritty details.
Yes.
And so they pan into the cameras. Like when he's talking, it's close up. When she's talking, it's far away. And like one time they flash to it with her where it's close. And she was like, I'd like to talk big picture. She was like, I'd like to widen the screen first before we talk about
yes.
this. And the screen widened. I'm like, it's shit like that. Like that is brilliant.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
It is truly amazing what they have put together for us. And like I've noticed, like, you know, as the show has gone on, it quietly but very quickly like picked up in popularity. And to me, like when season 3 was premiering, I was like, this is so good. And then like season 4, literally everyone I knew was like, oh my god, BoJack season 4 is coming. Like the way like that show just quietly just kept picking up steam was amazing to watch. Like I really enjoyed that journey. And it really taught me, you know, a lot about the stars of Hollywood and the actors. A lot of these people, they've been doing this for years, like character actress Margot Martindale. Had no clue Amy Sedaris was, you know, Princess Carolyn. And every time she's on Watch What Happens Live, I'm like, someone asked about BoJack.
Yeah.
And it never happens. I'm so sad. But you know what? I'm sure if I get the chance to meet her in New York next time I'm there, I'm like, Princess Carolyn, and I'm sure she'll love that because she's really one of the freaking best characters on this show.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. I really can't. I'm actually going to now talk about one of my favorite episodes, and it is entitled Brat Brat Pew Pew, a.k.a. the abortion episode. Now, this is one of my favorite episodes, namely the title, Brat Brat Pew Pew, which is a single by Sextina Aquafina, which actually, you know, goes into the abortion of it all. The show really is a, you know, my body, my choice anthem, but it once again gives us that, you know, behind the scenes full picture look of, you know, the industry and how it works and how, like, you know, it's all about the paper, it's all about the story. How do you get the get, right? Because we got Diane who's actually going through or having to deal with the decision of an abortion. We see her, you know, with Mr. Peanut Butter in the beginning of the episode. What do you think we should do about this? I'm pregnant. And oh shit, because that's like a to be continued. And you know what, guys? Quite as is kept, they actually gave us a to be continued without giving us a title card saying to be continued. Bravo, take notes. And it opens with them going, oh shit, I'm pregnant. And then they go, all right, on the count of three, you know, what do you want to do? Let's just say what we're both thinking. One, two, three, abortion. Get an abortion. Then Mr. Peanut Butter being so, you know, being so annoyed, he's like, oh no, we said different things. Like, the way this episode just starts off with a bang. He's like, you know, I don't want kids. Yeah, and no, of course. And you know, if we're going to have kids, we would adopt or we would let, you know, a troubled teen who's out on the streets, but coming here to, you know, chase his dreams to go to Juilliard, and we let him stay on the couch while, you know, while he gets on his feet. And you're like, of course. And like, just the fact that like, that's like their through line before they both decide that they literally do not want the child is just amazing television.
Mm.
How do y'all feel about that episode? That's truly one of my favorites.
And that's a good episode. And again, at first, when I was like looking through like you know, your questions and whatever about like who's my favorite and least favorite character. I was like, is Mr. Peanut Butter my least favorite character? Question mark. Because I know Jay and I allude to him a lot as basically the Tom Schwartz of
that breaks my heart.
He's a Will Smith, the Tom Schwartz. Like he's all, they're all like Libras, really. It's like these Libra men that like stumble into just, greatness and they're lazy, and but they're cute and adorable and maybe a little wordy, like a little penchant for words, kind
of. And,
like,
and basically get away with a lot of shit. And
when they're a real villain. Yeah, they're like villains.
But they're the true villains of the fucking show.
Truly. But side note on that, I always likened Schwartz to Todd, but more on that later. Continue. Sorry.
Oh, that's a quirky link.
He's a mix.
Okay.
Maybe both.
But yes,
I mean,
back
Todd
to,
and Mr. Peanut Butter are best friends, so I think it's all related.
One of the few genuine friendships on that show.
Right.
The storyline is there. But yeah, rap, rap, pew, pew. Let's talk about that episode. Truly one of my favorites.
I mean, Jay, you can go.
Mm-hmm. I try to think, you know what's crazy? Okay, so when I wrote my least favorite characters, Sexina Awkwafina's on my list.
No!
Yes,
she's the perfect chemistry plant.
I love that we have disagreeing views on her because I view her as like, I also liken her to Courtney Portnoy, where they're just like these kind of throwaway characters to me where they don't feel as fleshed out and they're like, they're there for comedic relief, but like, I don't really find them that funny. And like, Joey Pogo is the worst version of it. He's my least favorite of those.
So dramatic. So over the top. I just love how obscene and how extreme Sexina Awkwafina is. I mean, the name alone, you're basically telling us it's Christina Aguilera one way or another. Quiet as is kept. And like, you know, Sarah Lynn is like, you know, like the Britney. So I love that they have like that dueling moment of like the songs and like the career. And like literally, you know, Sexina says, Sarah Lynn, I love her. I listened to her, you know, growing up when I was growing up. Like, how crazy is that? And Sexina is, you know, 16. So like, it's crazy. I listened to her growing up.
I do love the fact that now that you're saying it, of those characters, she is like kind of camp and like a little bit fun. And she also doesn't take herself too seriously as a character. Whereas like Courtney and Joey seem to take themselves more seriously than her. So that episode, actually, I had never really thought about it being that impactful, but it is so true about like the commentary about, you know, pro-life, pro-choice, it's your body, it's not, especially in this climate we're in now, like that's the thing about this show, like it was almost on the precipice of these things happening. It's like 1 year, 2 years right before it happened,
right before,
they talk about it.
Yeah.
Right before. It's crazy. And I love how, you know, we're in her office and Princess Carolyn, you know, the hustler she is trying to get her as a new client. She's like, you know, I was just on the guy with an obvious cause. Trying to singing my hit song.
That's you dying.
I was on a yacht. Not because Cosette singing my song. trying to get my blowhole beach. So you think I have time to sit here and talk about parking? No. She's like, now, excuse me, I need to go get my blowhole beach. Like the way she just commands. I mean, starting her whole rant with, imagine my surprise. Like, that's one of my favorite lines of dialogue ever to hear from anyone. Imagine my surprise. Like,
I don't say it enough. Obsessed. Now that you say it, it is quite delightful. That is very funny.
It's so good. And then, you know, Hollywood, it shows Hollywood taking a very serious issue like abortion and commercializing it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But yeah, that is a really good episode. I hadn't even, that's the thing about, I feel like there's so many, anytime they really touch on a hot topic, they nail it. Those episodes are always good.
Spot on. Mm-hmm. Especially the one with Vance Wagner in season 5. Like the way he went away, came back, went away again. Crazy. 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 All right. Before I get too carried away, let's actually go to our favorite characters. So ladies, one at a time, all together. Let's talk about our favorite character. Or Terse.
Loke? This is kind of stupid, but one of my favorite characters is definitely Paige Sinclair, the Hollywood reporter. I don't know why she was. I mean, obviously she only came on the last season, but she's so funny to me. Obviously, like they put some kind of like they tried to infuse a little bit of comedy with her and like how she delivers lines, but you know, front page page, as she calls herself. But
definitely giving that modern, like, you know, millennial blogger girl trying to make it, for sure. Get it out there. Yeah. Yeah.
So I like to enjoy her. But I also do actually, maybe most, I'll put them under the most improved section, but definitely Princess Caroline and Todd are very interesting to me. I wouldn't say necessarily like, yeah, I wouldn't say favorite characters necessarily, but
yeah.
Yeah. So I think Princess Caroline and Todd are, I would consider most improved for the characters. It's not that they're necessarily my favorite, but I definitely feel like you can see their growth throughout the series. You know, you have Princess Caroline, who was like this pushover in relationships, whether romantic or business.
Right.
And kind of denying herself the things that she wants. And then eventually she's like, you know what? Like, I don't have a relationship, but I want a kid. And this is like really meaningful to me and my next steps. And then she gets one. And then obviously she raises her with Todd. And then we see Todd go from like this kind of slacker to this businessman. I mean, relatively. just more assured in himself. He comes out as asexual. I think that's a big deal.
Yes.
That's never you know, a sexuality that's even covered or talked about in, you know, real life.
Shout out to the Aces,
a show. Exactly. We see y'all. And so...
about like the type of asexuals there are, it's not just one type. Yes. Him making the right. app, all of that.
There's
like,
asexual, there's incredible. Aromantic, there's so much. And I think... Yeah. You know, obviously they try to pour all of that into Todd just because he's their one
uncoupled main character. Yeah.
Right, right, right. But in reality, obviously there's different layers to it. But I do appreciate that they even went there in general, because like I said, I just don't feel like that group gets any sort of like representation really. And
so true.
Yeah. And again, like Todd that started off the show was definitely not a Todd that ended the show. And I think them two most specifically, I feel like you can track like just really positive progress.
You know what? I love that answer, because at first when you said most improved, I mean, you said Princess Carol, I'm like, what? I'm like, she's like the most like, you know, like she's like the baddest bitch on there. Like, and it's funny because I always, you know, saw her, you know, quote unquote failures as simply being, you know, just vulnerable, almost being like the real one on this cast. Because I do think of them as a cast, because again, you know, it's about Hollywood, they're in Hollywood. So I thought, you know, Princess Caroline was just like, you know, the vulnerable one, the one that just always put it all out there, good, bad, in between. But then also, I saw her, you know, in addition to being vulnerable, I call her the professional vulnerable, because again, she's a PR agent, she runs a PR agency. So even though she had her own stuff, she was always able to either A, clean it up, or B, you know, clean it up and keep her own, you know, image of like, I'm still her going, but then also B, push it to the side of and help out her clients. So I felt like she was like the ultimate, you know, real down, like real, like raw bitch. So I was like, what do you mean? I'm like, no way. But now that you say it, I see that. And I'm going to have to go back and rewatch. And you know what? I tried, guys. I actually went on, when I first got the inkling for this episode idea back in, what was that, July? I actually went on Apple TV because, you know, they sell and stream everything. And they're not selling BoJack. BoJack is an exclusive Netflix property, because I would have paid whatever, $19.99, $20.99 for the season. I would have done it. It's one of the best shows ever. I would have easily paid whatever the price was. But you literally can't buy it.
Wow.
That is sick.
That's interesting.
That's sick. Of course it is. Of course it has to be niche. It can't just be like easily accessible.
Although now that you say that, it was on Comedy Central for brief
for like 2 months, literally 2 months.
That also fits too. If not on Netflix, Comedy Central makes sense as a network, I think.
I need Apple to step it up, because look at all the shows I freaking bought. Look at all these programs I purchased. I will easily purchase all.
Yeah, you will buy something. You have no problem.
Not a problem. But you know what? I guess, you know, we'll get there. Okay, so Jay, your favorite characters.
Firstly, like Jay said, we share a love for Paige Sinclair, and I'd love to deliver a Paige Sinclair soliloquy, if you will.
Yes, please.
It was right before her wedding, after she got off the road with Max, and basically her and Max fell in love, but she was supposed to get married. And the way they allude to her and we find out about her story is through her monologuing on voicemails to her husband or fiance the entire time they're away. And then so she comes back, it's right before her wedding, and she's talking to her sister named Patience. And of course, they always do like alliteration with her. So of course, her sister's name is Patience. She's Paige. From Paige, as Jay said. She said, you know full well, once I become Baxter's bride, I'm trading boardrooms for bedrooms, watches for swatches, and deadlines for bedtimes. Patience. Mm. You cut to the core like a classic Sinclair. I shall miss making mincemeat of the misdeeds of the mischievous miscreants, and I must focus on my new mission as I transition from Miss to Mrs. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Honestly, iconic. She came in like halfway through the season.
Yes.
But she like, swept us away.
Definitely left an impression.
Transatlantic sure. accent, 50 news reporter accent, and all just the best.
And then literally her sister says, why are you talking like that? We're from Fresno.
Doreen? If someone don't come get Kathy Hilton's dinner date.
Oh. I mean, and I was like, that is a Dorit moment. Like, that was literally Dorit talking. And like, you're from Connecticut. Like, that was that. So I can't believe. I love the characters where, like, Mr. Peanut Butter is not my favorite character necessarily, but they get a lot of their wordplay out through him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, I was telling Jay the other day, like, the way he phrases, like, questions is so interesting. Like, he'll ask himself a question so that he can answer it with his answer. Like, I think, like, there was a quote, Gina did it. I mean, that was that girl who was on Filbert. But was kind of like this scenario where it's like, am I, like, the movie Love Actually? Because there is no lead. Like, they always do that kind of thing. They ask themselves a question to answer it with their real answer. I just find that so interesting. So, Paige, amazing. Like I said, I love Sarah Lynn. And I really liked Wanda the Owl. I just really thought she was, like, a very interesting, weird, random character. And of all his girlfriends, like, kind of my favorite. Like, where I really think, like, she had that artistic, like, childish stuff to her. Like, yes. besides the fucking... What was she in the coma?
The coma,
like,
yeah.
They had fun together. And he really liked her. And they were very good in the beginning. But, of course, BoJack gets in his own way. Mm-hmm. I feel like she was, of the girls that we saw him with, the most realistic for him to be with. Kind of like his Pickles from Mr. Peanut Butter, but way better than Pickles.
Pickles and Ponte, yes.
Yeah.
Shout out to Gina Cazador. That yeah. girl. Those are good answers.
Yeah. And also, just going back on Paige. I feel like another reason why she is low-key kind of one of my favorites is that she, to me, represents basically, like, not necessarily BoJack's, like, conscience, but definitely his karma. So, like, she's coming after him about this story that he's been trying to bury, that he started, you know, drinking about, tried to get sober for. Like, all these things that he's basically been, you know, riddled with since, you know, Salem's death. And she's basically opening this up, investigating it. She's, you know, got her list out, checking it twice. She's pulling up other shit along the way. And so it's basically like everything kind of catching up to him in this witty wordplay.
Yes.
And, so I like her because she just feels basically like an agent of karma. And as much as, even if you do like BoJack, and I think he's a very questionable person, like, do you like him or do you not like him? Like, it's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
You also kind of want him to have his justice. And like Jay was saying, like, one of the critiques is that he didn't die in the end in that penultimate episode, which he kind of honestly could have. And I feel like the show would have been great. It's fine. You're kind of not rooting for him, but you are, but you aren't. Like, I don't know. It's weird. Or that's how I feel, at least, about.
He reminds me of Tony Soprano in that way, where he's the hero and he's like, he's the main character. He's who you're going through the series with. So you have a familiarity with them, but you also, because you know them, you hate them. Like, that's how he feels to me.
Literally. Yeah, for sure. Crazy. So I'm glad you actually brought up that penultimate episode, you know, where he's basically going through, like, you know, the last moments of his life. I'm like, are they about to tell us what happens when you die? Is BoJack really about to explain the secrets of death to us? Like, the way they mirrored that for us was amazing. Like,
I know.
Like, I'm like, are we about to learn what happens when you die right here now on this here television show? It's crazy.
Shit. I mean, honestly, they have a lot of, like, Sopranos kind of nods too, because
they for sure, like,
that second to last episode,
the whole show is a nod to pop culture, so of course they make a nod to one of the biggest pop culture moments. Yeah,
like, if they're trying to be a drama episode, they're like the best drama of animated, you know what I mean? Like, so they want to compete with the best drama of, I guess, network television. But go ahead, sorry.
That second to last episode was kind of like when Tony went into his coma and he's like kind of going through that whole like weird sequence that he did. And then even the whole when Sarah Lynn died and the screen went black, like, that's, again, Sopranos, their season, their series finale did the same thing. So now I'm just thinking like, wow, there's like actually kind of a lot of parallels, but like, yeah.
There was, and I thought of Todd as Christopher. And I don't know, I fully thought of it as being the Sopranos. Like, it is very Soprano-like to me in that way. And again, I think it's just because it's a drama, but it's just an animated drama, which is weird.
Yes. How belong to speech. I love to recap, guys, of Many Sins of Newark. Now, let me tell you. So I actually am that one weirdo, that 1%, who has never seen The Sopranos, but did watch this movie. Because it itched a scratch. I mean, it itched my Italian-American crime family scratch. It itched my, you know, childhood scratch, because I did grow up around a lot of that stuff. It, it just hit home in the way I needed it. So I did watch it and I loved it. And I might actually go back and watch The Sopranos and like, you know, do it. And the only reason why I couldn't watch it was because I was too young. I was the kid who was hiding around the corner trying to listen, who would get caught and get told to go to bed and maybe put on punishment for, you know, trying to sneak out the room and watch shows I had no business watching.
See, the reason I tapped into it is because like, I like to watch a show that's already off the air because I don't like waiting until next week. That's not my vibe. I would rather just see it all. Yeah. So I was like going through a phase where I was trying to watch like all the best supposed dramas on network television or TV or streaming or whatever. Mm-hmm. And The Sopranos just naturally came up. And my dad was like, you need to watch The Wire and you need to watch The Sopranos. So I'm finishing The Wire now. I'm 3 episodes away from finishing. Mm-hmm. And The Sopranos, that's why I have to watch that.
That's amazing. And that makes me think. So I love how you said you like watching things that already happened because you can just get to them. Similarly, I like watching shows that end it because I know one, that's two things. One, I know where it's going to end. And then two, I can control the pacing. I can watch it as if I would watch a network show that's currently airing. So I can control the pacing. Mm-hmm. I know where it's an ending. And for a long time, for about a solid year, I did not watch the final season of BoJack. I'm like, I don't want it to end. I finally like, you know, came to terms and I watched it. So it was a lot. It was a lot to get there. And before I forget really quickly, so like the page of it all, you know what it just reminded me of? Mm-hmm. Our summer of Bravo, summer 2020, summer by racism, how like, you know, all the Bravo fans kind of came together and like stacked up a list of receipts against, you know, Stassi and all of them. Like, look, guys, yeah, we might have like, you know, let this slide then, but no, look at it now. Look at all this happened. And even then I had to have my own record. I'm like, wait a second. I actually can't support this lady anymore because she did this. Seeing it all.
This lady. I know you were a Khaleesi. Oh my God.
Die hard. And I'm like, you know what? I can't. Like, I'm like, no. I'm like, this did happen. She did do these things. And I did let all those go. But so seeing everything all stacked up the way how Paige brought the whole case of BoJack to full circle from start to end, I'm like, whoa. Okay. Yeah, we can't do this. So.
Then randomly, just to get you back on track to help you out, because I know I took it to a Sopranos voice I didn't mean to.
No, please do. We love it.
My least favorite character is Hollyhock, oddly enough.
Hollyhock, Manhattan Guerrero. Mondarelli McQuack.
I hate you for knowing every single last name she has, but yeah, for some reason she annoys me as a character, and I don't know why. I don't know why.
Mm.
I feel like she was us, as in like the kid of the show. Like,
yeah.
Like the bratty know-it-all teenager in a way, but then also, you know, she very much so didn't know it all. I found Hollyhock to be like a comic relief, but also as an anchor to BoJack. Because when she came into his life, he was really spiraling, and I feel like she really kind of brought him back to earth. And we see that for sure in the last season when, like, you know, he's calling her, and she's like, it's 3 a.m. I was sleeping. He woke up. He's like, oh, I just wanted to hear your voice. I feel like she, like, anchored him in a way.
I love him having a sister. I was glad it wasn't his kid. I love that payoff.
Oh, my God.
That's in my favorite episodes, too. But, like, So I appreciate her presence, but something about her was like, she was naive and I wanted to slap her and be like, Hollyhock, look, he's a fucking addict. This is your fucking life. He's not your fucking, like, you know what I mean? Like, I wanted to really, and like when she heard about BoJack and the girl, like, what was her name?
Oh,
the doe, the fawn.
Penny. Yeah. Poor baby Penny.
Penny. When she heard about Penny, she's like, what? I'm like, this is BoJack. Like, wake the fuck up, Hollyhock. I think she was frustrating for me because I guess she is like us, like you said, like the young naive. Like she still has a glimmer in her eye. Yes. She's not hardened yet by Hollywood. She's not from here. So she doesn't have that energy. And in this show of hardened ass people, she's like a harsh, stark, like contrast to me.
Yes. Yeah. And it also goes back to like, you know, the environment, the drug, the allure, the pull of the ball. You're right. She's not from there. But the second she gets there, what is she developing? A freaking eating disorder. You know, Beatrice gives her the diet pills. Like, just so it's like the second you're there, you're in that world. Like, you're right. She is out of order, but the second she's in Hollywood, she's in it. She's deeply immersed into that whole world, but also still maintaining that level of innocence to it. It's crazy.
Also, again, not to say anything about The Sopranos, but doesn't Tony's mom remind you of BoJack's mom?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely really? That too.
Ooh,
very yeah, dark. For sure.
Very
that is dark. Okay.
Definitely.
Very dark. Yeah.
Because Beatrice, that woman. Side note on that, one of my other favorite not animated shows is, famously, I love a sitcom. So one of my favorite sitcoms in the last few years has been American Housewife. And the main character, Katie's mom, is played by the woman who voices Beatrice. And it's not exactly similar, but it's a lot of similar themes. So to see that, you know, like go from horse to person, it's crazy. And hearing that voice, like Amelia knew, I'm like, oh, that's Beatrice. Another thing BoJack taught me, voices. Like when I look up, you know, the cast after a few episodes, I'm like, oh, that's this person. So now when I see them, you know, not in character, not in cartoon, I'm like, oh, that's blah, blah, blah. That's this person. That's that person.
I know, it is so weird. There were characters from Breaking Bad. There was me and Jay watched Mad Men together. There, one of the characters from Mad Men is in here. It's so many random people, like kind of star-studded in a Hollywood way. I don't know.
The show circles become circles. It's full circle.
It's meta in and of itself. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Speaking of crazy, all right, so forgive me now, but my favorite character, really, I love Mr. Peanut Butter. I love how he's so oblivious, so unaware, so unassuming, and also sees the good in people, like in literally every person, like BoJack, who's literally snubbing him every step along the way, like, get this guy out of here, I don't want to talk to you. Very clearly, like, wants nothing to do with him, but still chooses to, like, you know, either A, ignore it, B, see the good in him, or B, he's just such that person, like, it's like, okay, whatever, fine, like, it's crazy. And I just love that about him. I found it funny, nonsensical. And BoJack had every right to be mad. I mean, you know, literally, like, you know, BoJack is Brian Merlin and, you know, PB is, you know, like the Dave Quinn, happy go lucky. Here we go. Here's my book. Here's your book. Oh, it's similar. It's a different. I don't know. Like, I love that about him. And then as the show goes on, we see a one-dimensional character, maybe not so one-dimensional. You know, the episode when he goes away on vacation to the farm, he's like, you know, I come here to have a good time. You know, I don't want to talk about sad shit. I'm sorry your family's so shitty. When Diane literally asks him, how's your brother? Like, those small moments where, like, the seam starts to crack. And then how you said Mr. Peanut Butter's booze, that full circle, where he's like, wait a second. He's like, I'm ruining these girls. It's me. Like, he's got these little moments where it cracks. Season 6. Am I depressed when he realizes he's so happy? He's actually depressed. It's crazy.
Like, and again, they commercialized it, like you said. Like, I feel like celebrities love to do that. I have anxiety or I'm depressed. And then they commercialize or make it their shtick or something like that. And that is just, like, so crazy. Again.
Yes.
And I just think, I mean, there's parts of it that's relatable. Like, sometimes, like, you don't realize what you are doing. Like, wait. Am I depressed? Like, let me sit down and have this moment and talk to myself. Like, I'm doing these crazy things and nothing's making me happy. Like, maybe there's something to unpack there. And same thing, like, when you start to finally, like, look at your relationships instead of running into, like, one after the other, you're like, wait, maybe I'm the problem and I need to take a step back.
Maybe I'm the toxic one.
Right. Maybe I'm the toxic one.
And with that, we will take a brief commercial break. So, yeah, but I just love, like, you know, his silliness, you know, his schemes with Todd. You know, people like Todd definitely, you know, amp up his, like, you know, likability factor. And then, you know, how, like, you know, we got Daria deep dark down. He was, for a while, her silver lining until he became, you know, the lining that, you know, ripped her apart, essentially, as time drew on. I mean, the episode when they're on vacation, they had just, you know, had, like, a really long day. They were stuck in traffic. And he's also a person that will try to fix things with things that are, you know, going to the root of the problem. Because we see Diane saying, you know, why would you film me in this room, my bell room? And she's like, this is the one thing that I wanted to be mine. And he's like, I'm sorry for trying to do a nice thing for my girlfriend. He, like, trivializes it and, like, minimalizes it. And, like, you know, really she felt like, again, he was just, you know, suffocating her in a way. And again, one of those iconic lines. She's like, you know, sometimes when things are bad, and you know, you just, and then you stop and you think, you know, you squint and then it's not so bad anymore. She goes, I'm so tired of squinting like that.
Yes. Oh my God. And it was silent after she said it. I'm so tired of squinting. I'm like, get Diane out. Like, let's get a white van and let's pick up Diane tonight. She cannot take it anymore. Also, just about Mr. Peanut Butter, side note, one of my favorite gags in the whole show is Erica and him going off inside of Erica. I love that.
And we never see Erica, but she's literally described like a freaking biblical angel. 1,000 eyes, legs, arms, everything. Crazy. All right. And then here comes my cancellation nation again. My favorite character is BoJack, because I found he was so relatable, so real. Like, he never, like, shied away from his emotions. He always said what he felt in the moment, pretty much. Like if he was mad, he was mad. If he was upset, he was upset. You know, very much like middle of the road, like middle American, like, you know, drinking all the time, you know, not eating the best, you know, hitting himself about it, you know, trying to, you know, chase his dreams and succeed, but all ultimately always getting in his own way for whatever reason, constantly being haunted by his past, and also being the person, you know, who really, in a way, quote unquote, kept it real. Like, he would always say things from what they were exactly and not try to sugarcoat or anything. Or, you know, he'd always be the one bursting Mr. Peanut Butter's bubble. But again, because PB's so happy in a bubble, he didn't even realize it was like a moment for us, the audience. I felt he was just so real and so relatable because, you know, we all go through at some point depression, anxiety. Some of us go through alcoholism. And, you know, I'm sure it's a part of all of us that, like, you know, in a way, long for our past or want to chase something from our past. We've all done horrible things that we'd like to take back, you know, take. So watching him grapple and grapple with all those things and, you know, again, always trying to fix himself, but always getting in his own way, I found just so real and so realistic. And the fact that it's voiced by Will Arnett, just like the energy he brings to BoJack, it just is perfect. It's spot on.
Incredible. And his voice is just like gravelly enough and deep enough to be a horse. Like BoJack, like, it's crazy.
It's amazing. And I also, really quick, I love Princess Carolyn. I think she's ultimate girl boss, you know, working woman, doing it for herself, just out there. And now for least favorite, for a long time, I did not like Todd. I'm like, Todd is stupid. Todd's dumb. He's just so unassuming. And, you know, in the Schwartz way, we're like, okay, you know, he's a real villain here. I never found Todd to be a villain, but the way, you know, people get annoyed with Schwartz for being the way he is, I'm like, the fuck, Todd? Like, come on, like, get it together, get your head in the game. I feel like Todd would, like, you know, in a way, just kind of let things happen to him or have things happen to him. But then, of course, as the series go on, we see Todd, you know, stick up for himself, develop his own true identity himself, and still, in spite of everything, once the veil's been ripped off his eyes, still trying to help the people around him, which I just love. I mean, my favorite Todd episode by far is season 4, I think episode 9 or 3. It's when we just watch him running around doing tasks for everyone all day. Mm-hmm. Starting at the symphony, he's running, you know, through rows of people just to hit the triangle. Like,
and it ends with him not being there to hit the triangle. And the guy was like, I never thought he would miss this or do something for himself. Like, I'm so glad he's not here.
And he's like, good for him.
I love that. I love Todd's that. You're phone. Right. Todd was a tough character. Playing.
Yeah. It is. Todd, man, I've really been on a journey with Todd. Also been on a journey with Diane. Like, so, like, Diane definitely, you know, calls shit out. She's like, you know, a truth sayer for sure. But I was always annoyed. I'm like, oh, Diane, I'm like, you're ruining my fun. Like, Diane was the Bethany to my drunk Dorinda. You never let me have any fun. So I, like, always kind of struggled with Diane. But I saw, you know, how she really, you know, kept everything. She really kept the playing field level. And again, we saw, you know, the trope of it all, how, like, you know, she's like the smartest one, the most important, but because she's a woman, ultimately she was passed over or ignored in so many moments, which made me feel for her in a way that maybe I previously wouldn't have. And, like, for a long time, I almost I don't want to use the word hate, but I was really, like, not feeling her. I'm like, girl, I'm like, Mr. Peterborough is giving you this amazing life. You got money, cars, everything you want, and you're still, and it's still not good enough for you? Like, what the hell?
Like, what more could you want, Diane? Like, she's a little insatiable, like BoJack. I really think Todd is Mr. Peanut Butter, Mr. Peanut Butter is Todd, and BoJack is Diane, Diane is BoJack. Yes. Like, I feel like that's why they're a couple, and then they're a friend or roommate duo or whatever they are.
Right.
Because, like, it's really the same thing. BoJack's insatiable, and he wants it all. And even if he would get it all, he wouldn't be happy with it all. And Diane's the same way.
Like a horse, appetite of a horse. Horses are always hungry. Horses always want more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, as you know, the Buddhists say, desire is painful. So basically, the more you desire, the more pain you're going to be in. Yeah. Well, if you just didn't desire shit, then you wouldn't be, like, so hungry. You wouldn't be so upset when you don't get something. You know what I mean? Like, you'd just be like, okay, whatever, fine, fuck it.
Absolutely.
But that's not the world we live in, so.
It is not. So, circling back, we kind of touched on this a little earlier, but let's go deeper. So, ultimately, there are 6 seasons of iconic television. 2 questions. Who's our real villain and who's our real hero? I think I'll start BoJack. He's our hero and our villain.
Yeah, he's an anti-hero. He's both. He's absolutely both.
For hero, I put no one. And for villain, I put BoJack's parents.
I copied Eugene's answers because I totally agree. I feel like the real villain was Beatrice. Like, like Jay said, like his parents, his dad was definitely awful too. So let's lump in the dad. And I feel like the hero is Princess Carolyn because she was a character I struggled with too in the beginning where, yeah, I loved her as a girl boss, but I hated the way she let BoJack treat her. And I'm like, yo, you can get whatever you want in this life. Like, I don't, really I hated that she didn't understand that. I mean, that's such a real thing, but I'm like, if you want a baby, you can adopt a baby. You can have a baby. Like, when she was dating that mouse, which, LOL, so funny.
Ralph.
Like, Ralph. Like, she ended up ruining that, but even that was a good thing. I'm like, you can date, so that shows you can have somebody that's not just BoJack. Like, come on. Like, I needed her to also, like, get with it. She got with it, and then she had her baby on her own, and then she ends up getting married to Judah, who's been there, like, for her the whole time. Like, and then her wedding is the, like, final scene or whatever. I just feel like she's the real hero because I feel like she was there a lot more than I think we remembered. You know what I mean? We went through a lot of her story with her.
Yeah, and I love that. Like we really, again, this show really fleshes out every character in some way or another.
Yeah.
Yep.
Rabbitohr, Rabbitohr, he was the worst. He was the worst.
Rabbitohr. He was with his wife. Ugh. What a sleaze.
But I don't feel like anybody's really a hero on this show. Like, they all have their issues. They all go through their things. They've all done some shitty things. There's, like I said, there's some that have grown and there's some that haven't. BoJack. And and yeah, but I think that's like a beautiful part of it. Like, in reality, are any of us heroes? Not really. Like, we try to do our best, but sometimes it's not the best. So.
This is true.
Yeah, this show is dark.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You have to be open to that. It's crazy, again, because it's animated, so it seems like it would be the opposite.
Right.
It's supposed to be light, and that medium is used for light comedy. And, like, you wrote a question about, like, how is it separate? And I hate to skip. I don't know what your format is, but basically, like a South Park or, like, a Family Guy, they take, like, low-hanging fruit jokes.
Yes.
And they just throw them together and they're trying to be a vulgar and they think that's like what it is as an adult cartoon. But like, this show is not, well, obviously beyond not afraid of doing complex or tackling complex ideas or things, but making it humanizing things if through an animal form. And like, I learned things about being a person through these animals, which
you have to be dark to get this. You also have to be dark.
Yeah, it's going to be dark and it's going to make you like think about yourself for sure and see yourself in these characters and hate that about yourself or love something about them and then love something about yourself. You rarely get that reward, but it does happen.
So guys, there are so many questions we didn't even get to, but I'm going to wrap this up. We're going to continue this conversation on the Patreon. So please be sure to visit me over at patreon.com/meiampod where you get this conversation and so many more. Ladies, thank you so much for being here. Shout out to Eugene. He was supposed to be here, but you know, poor thing, they would have let him into the country. He was busy. But ladies, please plug your stuff. Tell everyone where they can find you.
Go ahead, Jay. Take us away.
Shit, since we rebranded, honestly, I don't even know our handles. Hold on, give me like a second to remember.
Well, on IG, you can follow us at the D Class A Podcast. And on Twitter, we're trying to, you know, boost our Twitter up. So definitely follow us on Twitter. And you can find us at the D Class.
You got this.
Let's get it together. at the D Class A Pod.
Yeah, in our podcast, we're taking a dark pivot. We were doing Housewives on Display. That sounds like a light, fresh, airy thing.
On display.
You know, fun. We are taking a dark turn. And so BoJack, it plays into it. We'll talk, you know, real life and all that kind of stuff. But
yes. Amen.
Amen.
And to circle back, tell everyone what the first episode is of this rebrand.
It's a Mini Saints of Newark, a Sopranos retrospective. If you watch Sopranos or The Sopranos, whatever way you want to say it.
Soprano.
Yeah, you know, tomato, tomato. Or or you watch the movie like Samaj. You haven't even seen the series. That was our first episode.
So good.
And I think by the time this comes out, we'll have another TV episode too.
Oh, absolutely. So guys, go follow them. Listen to the pod. These two are two of my favorite people I have found in this wonderful, wild, wet Bravo Instagram community space. And I cannot wait to record them again, as I just said, for Patreon to go even deeper into this anthology of BoJack Horseman. And then we're going to go to Tuca and Birdie. Like, there's more. There's so much more. So follow them. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to them. Leave them 5 stars. Sign up to their Patreon. I'm speaking to existence. I don't know if they have one, but you know, hit them up, patreon.com/dayclassapod. I'm speaking into existence. Oh, you heard that soon. Guys.
Oh my God, it has so much fun at your concert.
Oh yes, I'm seeing Princess Nokia tonight. I should probably report about that for something. But I guess I have one last question, guys.
Yes.
Is this a crossover episode?
Truly something I've taken and put in my everyday life. If me and Jay talk about it, like if two people from two different parts of our lives are coming together, it's a crossover episode. It's crazy.
Relatable.
Yes.
Relatable.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
All right. So you guys know I have lived and gone through and experienced many, many eras in my life. Well, here's a new one that I'm so excited about. So, as you know, I'm very much so a man on the go, a man about town. And I'm sure you're wondering, how do I do it? How do I keep up? How do I stay awake? Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. And that secret is Proteus Brews. Yeah, Proteus Brews. So it is the cutest, chicest little coffee shop that I have found at the Proteus Bicycles Bike Shop. So yes, bikes and coffee. You can't get any chicer than that, right? But no, Proteus Brews is located inside the Proteus Bicycles Bike Shop. They're open Tuesday through Sunday, and you can get handcrafted lattes, espresso drinks, hot chocolate, iced tea, coffee, you name it. All made by hand, all made to order. And you can even get fresh pastries from local bakeries. I mean, Proteus Brews is just truly the chicest coffee shop around, and it helps keep me going Monday through Friday, 7 days a week, around the clock, from the back in the middle to around again. Proteus Brews is my friend. So hey, come visit. Come visit